Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. Thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares, where we're working to keep listeners up to date on the municipal pandemic response. I'm here today with Rob Adams, CAO for the municipality of Whitchurch-Stouffville. Rob is a unique CAO with a unique background, 20 years on the political side as a mayor and warden, an extensive career in the private sector as a serial entrepreneur and business executive, including leading his team to become one of the Profit 100 fastest growing businesses, and now as a CAO. Welcome, Rob.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Susan. I really enjoy everything that Municipal World brings to help our municipalities and local governments be better leaders and have success in what we do every day.
Well, we're just really delighted to thank you for that. We're delighted to have you here with us, too. And, of course, today we're going to be talking about the challenges of COVID-19, opportunities for innovation, and the future. But I'd like to start off with talking a bit about you and your background. Tell us about your experience, Rob.
Yeah, Susan, I'm a little bit unique for a CAO. I worked in the private sector for most of my career as a serial entrepreneur and then as a business executive. I worked in the software industry, digital signage software, and was very successful in that segment. But while I did that as my full-time job, I also volunteered as a community booster, and that's what I like to call being on council. And so I served on council in Orangeville for over 20, almost 25 years, first as a counselor and then as mayor for three terms, as well I served as warden of Dufferin County. So I gained a lot of experience seeing things from the political side, also having that private sector results-driven kind of lens to things. And then at some point, about 4 years ago, I decided that I loved municipal government so much I wasn't on the political side anymore. And so I made a change, and it was the best thing I've ever done. I just love serving as a CAO in a municipality, and the skill set that I've learned over those 20 years in the political side just really helps inform me how to support council and make them successful. And as well, those skills you learn in the private sector about being results driven and producing tangible innovation and other things has really helped me in the municipal sector. So kind of a unique background, but one that really helps me be successful on the team we have in Whitchurch-Stouffville.
So it's a really nice combination of different perspectives I think you bring to the role, which kind of helps you understand, you know, different stakeholders' perspectives on the challenges you might be facing at any given time. You also have an MPA from Western and local government. How was that valuable when you became CAO in the municipality of Grey Highlands?
Well, Susan, the MPA from Western, and I have to really call it out, a fantastic program there. Andy Sankton was our director at the time, but now Joe Lyons is the director of the program. A fantastic program to just give you the skill set and help you build the toolbox you need to be a CAO. I did mine a long time ago, but it really helped me on the political side. It gave me an understanding and a lens to look a little more carefully at the things staff were doing, respecting their role and respecting the political role, but understanding to a greater degree. So when I got to Grey Highlands, which was my first opportunity to operate as a CAO, it was invaluable. I was really thrown into things for a period. I became the acting clerk, and for a period of time, I was the acting treasurer. So really having that background really assisted me in understanding the organization. And really, it's all about managing people and helping people be successful as a leader, as a CAO. Your job is really to support, encourage, and empower your team to be successful at what they need to do.
So that municipality is a little bit unusual, perhaps, compared to many, perhaps similar to many amalgamated municipalities. It was created by the amalgamation of several municipalities, and so it included towns, rural farm areas, tourist districts. And tell us about your success kind of working to revitalize the economy there, where there'd been almost no development for about 20 years.
Yes, it you're right, Susan. It is a different municipality. It was the amalgamation, created through the amalgamation of several townships and some towns. And so it's a vast municipality with, seven different community centers, arenas. I think there's about 800 kilometers of roads. So a very vast municipality, smaller population, but very vast municipality. And so my opportunity came there. The mayor, Paul McQueen, gave me the opportunity to get started. He was a great supporter. Council was very supportive. And we built a really fantastic team up in Grey Highlands. The municipality had been in a little bit of decline with not a lot of development for the past 20 years. And so we worked really, really hard at trying to revitalize the economy. My first meeting actually as CAO in Grey Highlands, we were facing a closure of a school because we hadn't had any new subdivisions. There were declining employment, and with no new development for 20 years, it was a real challenge. So we worked hard as a team. We managed to get a new grocery store, some commercial development, and about three or four subdivisions going within a year or so. And so that really started to turn the economy around locally. It started to encourage people, and people had hope again for their municipality. And it really couldn't have happened without a strong staff team, and as well the support of the mayor and council, who were very supportive for some of the innovative things that we did that most municipalities wouldn't do or take the risk. But our council said, let's make it happen. And so that maybe was the start of where innovation came from in Grey Highlands.
Now that that culture of innovation, your team actually won several awards for the development of a municipal app from AMO, the PJ Marshall Award, and the AMCTO's EA Danby Award. How did you create that culture of innovation?
Interesting thing. I was working really hard at empowering our team and really trying to encourage people to be independent and to use their intelligence and their brain. I really believe as a leader, our role is to empower our staff and encourage them. You hire good people and you let them run and do their good work. And so one of the things that happened was I went to the MIC conference, Municipal Innovators Conference in Calgary, and I was so impressed with the things that other municipalities were doing. Most of them were a lot larger, and they had staff specifically around innovation. We didn't have any of that in Grey Highlands, but I thought if we can get everyone feeling that culture of innovation and feeling that they can be part of innovation and encourage it, it would be a great thing. So I started sharing some of the neat things that were happening in other municipalities. I started talking about how we could innovate. And so we worked really, really hard on creating that culture. It was once again a team effort. And so out of that culture of innovation, where people began to feel comfortable, they began to feel safe, they began to feel empowered, and they started to take risks. And so some of our team, specifically in kind of the clerks and customer service area, we'd been talking about how we wanted to do more things online and maybe create an app or something to some way to connect with the public electronically. And so a number of them took the initiative to work on a municipal app, and they actually did a lot of work behind the scenes just on their own. And then one day they actually borrowed my phone, put the app on my phone, and then got me to take a look at it. And I was really impressed with the work they had done. They created this app themselves with virtually, I think the budget was $1,500 that it took to do it. And they put together a fantastic app that allowed the public to be able to report potholes, pay taxes online, get burn permits, all kinds of other activities that we never had before. And so as a result, the team in Grey Highlands ended up winning the PJ Marshall Award, and as well the Municipal Clerks and Treasurers EA Danby Award. And the credit really goes to the team. My role was just creating the right culture, but they're the ones who made the magic happen.
And fantastic results. And for folks who are interested in that, anybody who's a Municipal World member, that story we also shared through Municipal World, so you can kind of look that up and read about how the municipality developed that app. It's a great story. So now you're CAO in Wichert-Stouffville, large urban municipality, population of 55,000, and one of the fastest growing places in the region. Tell us about the community.
So Wichert-Stouffville has some similarities to Grey Highlands. It has that kind of urban-rural mix, but it's a very large municipality, large land mass. But it's also very close, right on the edge of the GTA. In fact, if you stand in the hills of Wichert-Stouffville, you can see the Toronto skyline. So it's a really unique perspective. It's an amazing community, and it is one of the fastest growing municipalities in Ontario. So there are a lot of similarities. In other ways, it's a much larger municipality, and it's right on the cusp of the GTA. So things are moving fast. There's a lot going on, which is really exciting. And it's been ranked very highly. I like to use Maclean's Canada's best community rankings, and we're one of the fastest growing. I think we're the 18th fastest growing. We're the 12th best community to retire in, and the 48th best to raise kids. And we have some of the best health care. And the community as well is a very rich community with a very high net worth. So there are a lot of people who work in the city but live out in the hills of Wichert-Stouffville. So a lot of growth, really exciting things happening, and an amazing municipality with a fantastic team. And I've really been enjoying my time in Wichert-Stouffville and excited about all the possibilities as we grow very quickly.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Rob Adams. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization, from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports, memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Rob Adams. So great quality of life attributes there in Wittershtovo that, you know, people are obviously looking for. As all municipalities, the community's had its challenges as well. And even before this time, I understand that you've done some great things to help support your staff and starting your meetings with an expression of gratitude.
Yeah, and you know, part of it is municipalities go through phases, and sometimes they have challenging times, and then they start to recover from those challenging times. And one of the ways we can really kind of, I believe, ground ourselves, Susan, is to express gratitude for at every meeting that we have for the things that we have. We're very fortunate to be public servants, and as public servants, we get this awesome responsibility of building community and building civilization. And that's a real privilege and a real honor. So I think we always need to recognize that and speak with gratitude. As well, we need to express gratitude for our teammates, because each of us are only an individual, and it's only when we come together as a team that the magic happens. And so I really like to express gratitude. Lately, with all the things going on around the COVID pandemic, I like to take every meeting and every opportunity to just share gratitude towards our healthcare workers, our healthcare system. We have an amazing healthcare system. My wife's actually a public health nurse, and so she's deep into the response. But our first responders, our frontline essential staff workers, I like to give gratitude for all those people, and as well for people behind the scenes who make things happen. Like in Wittershtovo, our IT department was amazing. Vince Sakari and his team helped put some solutions in place so that we were able to work from home. So I like to really give credit where credit's due, and I think starting off with gratitude is a great way to start a meeting.
Absolutely. And you know, our people on the front line, the people that we don't always think about, that people in the community don't always think about, but the people who take care of our waste collection and our water treatment and water delivery and all those things. And wow, haven't those IT teams stepped up during this time and made all the things happen that municipal organizations needed to have happen to continue doing the important work they do?
Yes, Susan, I think you've hit it exactly, that people count on their local government to be the community builders and to help craft the kind of hometown that they want, the kind of place to raise their family or retire or whatever it is, and really enjoy the community and feel connected to it. And I think people really count on their local government even more during difficult times. So I think it's important that we continue, despite the COVID pandemic that's going on, to deliver the necessary services to our residents. Those are the services they count on every day. And I think this is really an opportunity for us to step up. And I know it's a challenging time. I think there's a really good saying. Lily Tomlin said, "We're all in this together, alone." And that's it's really rings true, doesn't it? We're all in this together by working together and staying at home alone. We can flatten the curve, and that's exactly what we're doing by playing our part. And it does mean we're alone more and we're isolated, which is harder and challenging for people in any organization.
And of course, all municipalities are dealing with the challenges and dealing to, you know, the questions from the residents about, you know, the impacts that they're experiencing. And their teams, of course, wondering how they're going to be impacted. How are you managing during COVID-19?
Well, I think we need to have perspective on things, and people want to know whether it's staff or residents, they want to know, how will this impact me? And so I think it's important to have some context that getting through a crisis, it's important to recognize that this is an unprecedented season in our lifetime. It is a very real global crisis, and we are in uncharted waters. But for perspective, we need to understand that this is not the first crisis in the history of the world, and it won't be the last. And we will find a way to get through this. We will find some solutions, and we will adapt. We have been adapting, and we will overcome it. And we'll work through the problems, and for sure we're gonna get through this. But it is difficult. It's a really challenging time, and it's difficult for many people, for residents, for business people who've had their business closed and impacted. Things are really hard, and people are worried about what it will be like on the other side. And there are going to be some changes. There will be a new normal, I like to say, but we'll get through this, and we'll deal with the new normal that comes. The pandemic, I kind of look at in three segments. There's kind of the viral pandemic, where everyone doesn't want to get sick, right? That's the main focus. You want to stay at home. You don't want to get sick. Then there's the social pandemic, and that's the fear, the anxiety, the stress, the pain that all these things, both from the economy, but from people's health, cause. And so we need to manage that carefully with our staff and with our residents. And then the final piece, the third piece, is the financial impact. And it's the financial stress that happens and the things that are caused from that, right? Rise in domestic abuse and mental health issues. So as we work through those kind of three pieces of the problem, we need to be cognizant and think long term, but also plan short term. And right now we're kind of in the first half of this challenge. So we need to remain nimble, but continue to think long term as to how we're going to come out of this.
So in all of this, of course, there are opportunities in every crisis, and we've seen, you know, some incredible adaptations. What are you doing in Stouffville, and how does innovation and your past experience play a role there?
Yeah, Susan, really good thing. In any crisis, there are unexpected problems, but there are also it creates the opportunity for unprecedented opportunities. And so we want to look at ways that we can address those challenges and turn the problems into opportunities. So some of the things that we've been doing and which are really neat around a technology side. So when I got to Stouffville about a year ago, I'd hoped to pretty quickly move towards work from home, compressed work week, and those kinds of policies. And it looked like it was going to be a year or two before we were ready to go. But a crisis hit us, and within a week, we had all our staff that could work from home, working from home, doing their jobs and keeping things running. So it's amazing how you respond in the time of a crisis and really make things happen. My goal had been to be one of the top 100 employees by having those kinds of flex time and work from home policies. And now it looks like what was going to take 2 years has happened in a week. So that's a really positive thing. And it shows that when we want to innovate, when we want to make things happen, we can. As well, we were very successful on innovating around holding council meetings. And we actually did not interrupt our schedule of council meetings at all. We were one of the few municipalities in York Region who managed to hold virtual council meetings and go uninterrupted. So we continued with the business of the municipality. And we've had every council meeting virtual since the pandemic started. So tribute to our mayor and council, who have been fantastic and very supportive during this whole crisis. As well, we set up self-serve kiosks for our customers. So when our municipal offices closed, we still had customers who may not have access to the internet and couldn't do things online. So we set up a kiosk in our vestibule, give customers the opportunity to use it. And as well, we made sure that there were rules around social distancing, and we made sure we had lots of supplies so that they could protect themselves. So
just a very simple but fantastic solution. I mean,
yeah, just creative. Really brilliant. And, you know, I have to give credit to our customer service team. They came up with the idea, and we put the measures in place to protect people at the same time. Not everyone has their, you know, connection to the internet, et cetera. There are some people who just aren't there. As well, our library, Susan, actually used our 3D printer to make face shields for people. So that was one of the things we partnered with an individual in our community who was interested in making face shields, and we used our 3D printer to help. And then, not to be stopped at all by this pandemic, we actually were planning a big barbecue and a launch of our innovation committee and their ideas. And Joan and Rashpal are kind of the leaders in our municipality. We're planning this, and I was going to be doing all the barbecuing and everything else. Anyway, because of the pandemic, that all changed. But we didn't let it stop us. We innovated, and we actually did virtual sessions, three virtual sessions around innovation. What could we innovate in our municipality? What could we innovate around customer service? And what could we innovate around the pandemic? And so those have been some of the innovations that we've been doing. And I know we want to talk a little bit about innovations that municipalities can do around economic recovery. And maybe we can chat about that in our next segment.
That sounds great. Thanks for giving us that perspective on what's happening right now, and we'll look forward in the next segment to chatting about the economic recovery and what that's going to look like. I want to thank Rob Adams for taking the time to chat with us. Stay tuned for part two to hear Rob discuss the three phases of local economic recovery and ways to accomplish it, including through the creative use of technology. We hope you've enjoyed this special episode of MW Shares Municipal Pandemic Response. If you found the information in today's episode useful, we hope you'll please drop us a note to let us know, or give us a shout on Twitter at Municipal World. Until next time, I'm Susan Gardner. This is MW Shares. Please stay healthy, stay safe.